He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it on the seas, and He established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong, the Lord mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty is the King of glory. In You, O Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in You. Do not let me be ashamed, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me Your ways, Lord. Teach me Your paths, for You are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in You all day long. Remember, Lord, Your great mercy. Remember Your love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to Your great love, remember me, for You, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in their ways. He guides the humble to what is right, and He teaches them His way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of His covenant. For the sake of Your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the way that they should choose, and they will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before You today with gratitude in our hearts. We're thankful for Your great love. You loved us so much that You gave Your one and only Son, who gave His life freely on Calvary's hill. We're thankful, God, for salvation that's rich and full and free. We're thankful for a body of believers who've come together today to give honor and praise to the Lord God Almighty, to remember two of our precious young men, Aiden and Keaton. Today, God, we give honor to You. Today, we give honor to them. I pray that the words that are shared, the songs that are shared, every factor of this service today would not only honor You and bring You glory, but would touch the nations of the earth with the good news that Jesus saves. And we give You praise and honor in His name. Amen and amen. Would you remain standing except for the family as worship God together with us? Let's sing about the goodness of God.
I've been held in your hands. Oh, I lift my head and I will see the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so.
That even on a hard day, he's still a good God. We are live streaming our service today. If you are interested and have a family member interested, the easiest way to watch that is on YouTube at CSIC Media is what you can search for in the YouTube bar, and you'll see that come up as a live stream. Well, I've had the privilege for a few years to be Keaton and Aiden's kids pastor here at Carpenter Shop Church, and I remember a class in college 20 years ago, and in that class, we had the assignment of writing a message for a child's funeral, and nothing that I could have possibly have prepared would seem adequate today, having known these boys. Because as Crystal and I talked about earlier, to know Aiden and Keaton was to love them. And I was trying to think back, trying to remember when it was that they came to church here, and when they joined our family, and honestly, I don't remember. I can't remember, because I know I didn't know them as babies, and I know I didn't know them as little kids, but it feels like I've known them, like I knew them all along, just the same. And, you know, that's just the type of kids that they were. Being an older sister, I always identified with Aiden. You know, Aiden was cool, calm, and collected. He was wise and gentle and just full of just an old soul. And he would sit upstairs, our kids' church is upstairs, and he would sit peacefully, you know, sit back in the chair, maybe with his leg tucked up under him, while Keaton bounced around the room. And Aiden, he might roll his eyes a time or two if the ball that Keaton was tossing narrowly missed, or sometimes didn't miss somebody in the head, but it was never a question that Aiden was Keaton's protector. And he looked out for him. And when it was time last year for Aiden to be promoted out of kids' church, it was really hard to imagine one without the other. But really, Keaton came into his own this past year. And you know, Keaton always made a difference in the room. When Keaton was there, I knew that someone was always going to be participating in class, and there was not a question that I could ask that he didn't have an answer for. I remember a few months ago on a Wednesday night Bible study, and one of the other preteens in the class had a deep question about evil or Satan. I can't remember exactly what it was, but without hesitation, Keaton rattled off this answer that was deeper than most adults could formulate. And I just sat stunned looking at him for a second, and then I joked with him because it sounded straight from the lips of Pastor Mike Blow. We told him how much he sounded like his pappy, which was true. Keaton also brought joy to every room that he was in. He always had this way of bringing people together. The joy of the Lord was truly Keaton's strength. And I can just see him now. His eyes would light up and sparkle whenever he was telling you a story or telling you something funny. And no ball or ball-shaped object stood a chance in the room when Keaton was there. I remember laughing with him a few years ago, telling him that it didn't matter what, if there was a ball to be found, he would find it. Even if I had hit it, and especially if he had to climb to get to it. The last few months, Keaton was our resident DJ. He was introducing me to his favorite Christian rap, and he always made sure we had the best music playing in the room. And Keaton was beginning to step up and take leadership in kids' church, and he was quickly learning how to operate the computer and the media upstairs. When I was out of town last month, I messaged the teacher that was taking my place, and I said, were you able to get everything straight? Did you get the computer working and everything? And she simply responded back, yes, Keaton helped me. And I smiled, because we were talking recently about how when he got promoted out of kids' church next year, he was going to have to come back and be my media person. And without skipping a beat, he said, let's face it, I pretty much already am. He was. But the biggest difference that Keaton made in the room was his positive influence on the other kids. And I don't know if he even realized that as much as he made that difference. And the last 6 months, I really saw Keaton continue to grow so much in his faith. And he found a deep peace. And he opened up often about his life, and he wasn't afraid to share where he stood with Jesus. When one of the girls found out this week that goes to church here, was in kids' church with us, she found out what happened to Keaton. She quickly told her mom, no questions asked. She knew that Keaton was in heaven because he really knew his Bible. And this is not to my credit as kids pastor, but simply to this wonderful family. Crystal, Scott, Mike, Bonnie, they taught these boys to pursue God, not just at church on Sunday, but all week long. And this past week was Vacation Bible School. As you can see, we traveled to space and we learned about how we can shine Jesus' light in a dark world. And I believe both Aiden and Keaton were already doing that. Aiden had already had the opportunity to go to Kenya twice on a missions trip, which you'll hear more about today. But Keaton hadn't had that opportunity yet, but he had found his missions field right here at home. Crystal told me this week that the boys on the playground used to call Keaton preacher. And I believe that Keaton's life and Aiden's life preached to many. And I know that the impact they had on the world did not end in such a terrible way last Sunday. For the first few days, I wrestled with this. I wanted to question, why these boys? They truly, we throw around the term world changers loosely, but these boys truly were being raised to be world changers. But as the week went on, I realized they already were changing their world. And their work isn't finished. It's up to us now. My last memory that I have of Keaton was his last Sunday in kids' church. We were playing a review game. And to determine which team went first, we were having a dance-off. And Keaton excitedly was jumping up and down. He wanted to be his team's representative for the dance-off. So we chose him to come forward. And the music started, and Keaton quickly threw himself on the ground, dancing the worm across the floor. But just as quickly, he jumped back up and stood back at the front of the room with his arms crossed. And his team members were yelling, "Keaton, dance, dance, dance." And he just stands there with his arms crossed. And after this goes on for a little while, we said, "Keaton, why aren't you dancing?" He said, "I already did. I did my dance." And as I see Keaton standing there telling us that it was the next person's turn, with his arms crossed, satisfied at what he had done, I could imagine him saying the same thing to us today. Keaton and Aiden, they did what they were called to do. It was shorter than we expected, certainly shorter than what we wanted, but they threw themselves into it with joy and with vigor. The family has found some songs that Keaton wrote, and he talks about the peace he has found. And even at 11 years old, he writes, "I live a good life in my mind. No more fighting. We're out of time." Keaton and Aiden understood their mission, the calling. They lived their life well. Those around Keaton and Aiden knew that they loved God. They knew that they were a light that shine bright for Jesus. And now it's our turn. What are we going to do with it? May our lives also shine the light of Jesus. May we change every room that we are in. And may those around us, without hesitation, know where we stand with the Lord, just like Aiden and Keaton. And may we continue the legacy of Aiden and Keaton and impact lives for the kingdom, just as they did.
favorite song. And there's no doubt that he loved the Lord. So I just want you to listen to the words of these songs.
Truth.
happy would he be right now looking down knowing that you accepted Christ? And understand that knowing because Jesus is in your life that it's going to be all right. He was a smart kid. A very smart kid at a very young age. We all need that.
I'm sure that there are many feelings of despair, anger, confusion, and sorrow that come from such a sudden and tragic event. But I'm not up here to exacerbate the sadness, the sorrow, and loss, but rather to celebrate the lives of two amazing young boys in which we all got to share a little time with. Aiden and Keaton were so full of innocence, wonder, and boundless energy. They were, as Crystal, their mother, called them, salt and pepper. So very different from each other, yet they complemented each other and lived their lives as testaments of Jesus in their own salt and pepper way. I think both of them understood, even at their age, that their purpose on this earth wasn't to just exist, but to spread the love and joy and to care for the less fortunate, forgive unconditionally, and spread the love of Jesus to all they met. And we heard just a little bit of that through their children's pastor. Now, I only got to meet Keaton one time, and it was very briefly. And I heard that he might have been able to come with us on the next trip to Africa next year. I would have loved to have been there with him and shared the gospel to thousands and thousands of kids and adults. But I did, however, get to be with Aiden last year when we went to Magwagwa, Kenya, Africa. For 10 days, I was with him. And when he came off of that airplane and we got to the hotel, Grandpa Mike introduced Aiden to me for the first time, and it was all downhill from there. He said he wanted to go to the schools with me, and so Grandpa Mike and Aiden tagged along. Now, I could tell he was a little nervous, but he was a trooper, and he didn't miss a beat. And after the first assembly was over, it was time to say goodbye to the kids. But what Aiden didn't know, and I did know, because I've been to over 270 schools in different parts of Africa, Uganda, Kenya, and those places, is that most kids have never seen a white person in person. So if they get a chance to touch your skin, oh, they're going to touch your skin. They want to see if your color is going to rub off. At times we would go out into the bush, and when we'd get out of a car, the kids would scream and run away because they either thought we were a ghost or we've been burned. True story. So I have a picture of Aiden up here as he was saying goodbye to the kids the very first time in the first assembly. It looks so good. It looks so innocent. I'm standing back here and I'm smiling because I know what's getting ready to happen. It looks good, and Aiden, he's just letting the kids look at him, and you can see they're already kind of just smiling at him. But that really isn't what happened. This is what really happened. Oh, Lord Jesus. I looked at Grandpa Mike because I knew what was happening, and he just smiled. And Aiden was happy at first, but it was like, okay, stop, leave my hands alone. You know, it was so much fun being with him last year. I would say that Aiden went to 8 or 9 schools with us that week, plus both kids' crusades. And Harry Ronda, which you saw up there, he's been my interpreter since 2014, and he is the black Randy Waters. He does everything that I do, how I do it, with as much excitement, enthusiasm as I do. And this year, it was unfortunate that I couldn't come to Africa because my father-in-law was ill, so I stayed back to help out with the church. And I heard that Aiden was really upset and that Grandpa Mike didn't tell him until the very end that I wasn't going to be there. But he stepped up. He stepped up big time. And Harry and Aiden went to the streets and started spreading the gospel and teaching about Jesus and using some of the tricks that I had taught him last year. He was so passionate, Harry said, about this mission trip that he actually had to force him to go back to the hotel to even eat lunch. He didn't want to eat lunch. He wanted to get out there and spread the gospel because he only knew he had a few days to do it. WITN News showed a small clip of Aiden, his grandpa, and Harry doing an object lesson on the streets with this little fake Bible that I have in my hands right now. Now, Aiden stepped up because he got to watch me last year do this in front of thousands and thousands of kids. And so I was so happy that he took upon himself to say, I want to do this. But what he would do is basically show the kids this Bible? And he would say, you know, the Bible is the most important book in the entire world. It's still even the most sought after book in the entire world, the Bible. And he would say something like this. There's three types of people in the world. Number one, there's a type of person that doesn't believe the Bible at all. And of course, if they don't believe the Bible, he would say that when they open it up, they would see absolutely nothing in the Bible. It would just be empty. And of course, all the kids would be like, okay, empty Bible. All right, whatever. And then he would say, but the second type of person that's out there is the type of person that when they open up the Bible, they see all kinds of stories. They see pictures. They read about things. But when they hear the stories, they think they're fake. They're not real. After all, have you ever walked on the water? Have you ever fed 5,000 loaves of fishes to people? Thousands of people with just a little bag, a little box, a little bowl of fishes? No. You ever walked through a wall? You ever calmed a storm? You ever raised the dead? He would say, yeah, they didn't believe those stories in this book. But they're there. And he would say something like, you know, but when you open up the Bible, you would see the stories. Yeah, you would see them. But you wouldn't believe that they're real. You just think they're fairy tales. And then all the kids would be like, what? And some of the kids would go, magi, magi. And we'd say, it's not magic, it's just a trick. And then he would say, but there's a third type of person that's out there. And he'd say, that type of person would be the type that when they open up this book and when they read it, they would believe everything that it said. And they would do everything that the Bible says to do after you read it. And then Aiden might say, what's your favorite color? And some kids would say, green, red, purple, blue, white. And he would say, okay. And he would say, well, you know what? If you do what the Bible says to do, and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, I said, not only will you go to heaven when you die, but he'll have a relationship on this earth with you now. And when you open up the Bible, it will become full life. It will just open up to you, full color. And all the kids, they would just be going wild. They would be going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And then we would step up and we would say, you know, out of all the gods that are out there in the world, out of all the other so-called holy books that are out there, there's only one that's alive, and his name is Jesus. There's only one that has every historical fact in it, and it can be proven and found, and that's the one in the Bible. Everything that the Bible has talked about from the beginning up to today has come to pass. Every prophecy has come to pass. You can't say that about any other book in the world. And the last thing that we would say while Aiden would be standing there so proud is that Jesus is the only one who had it all, who come down to earth to give it all up so you and I could have it all. That's what we would say. We'd say Hare Krishna and Buddha, they were out for themselves. They would kill people. Muhammad killed people, took people's land, raped women and girls. But Jesus, he loved you so much that he took your place and my place on the cross because we were the ones that should have died on that cross because of our sin. Sometimes I would use it. And I would take Aiden and I would say, this would be Aiden. Let's say that there was a bus here. And all of a sudden I took Aiden and I saw the bus coming and I pushed him out of the way and then I took that. That's what Jesus did for you and I. Took our place. And then we would say, listen, you can believe it or not believe it. I'd say, I really don't care if you give your life to Christ because I know where I'm going. This isn't Aiden's choice. This isn't Keaton's choice. This is your choice. Yes, Aiden would love for you to give your life to Christ and to meet him someday. But he wouldn't want you to do it for him. He'd want you to do it for yourselves. And that's what we do. And listen, hundreds of kids in the schools and thousands of kids and adults and teachers, they would stand up and they would give their life to Jesus, and we'd all pray, we'd hold hands. That's what Aiden did with me and his grandpa and the other pastors for 10 days last year. And that's what he did this year without me. So proud of him. So proud. He was coming into his own. He made us laugh so hard. We'd be in the car going to the next school, and Aiden would just randomly say the most weirdest things. And me and Harry, Rhonda, we would laugh so hard, I'd almost lose my voice. And I'd say, stop, Aiden, stop. I got to teach at the next school. I got to keep my voice. Quit. He was just so fun. Fun to be around. It would have been amazing to see Keaton and Aiden together in Africa. It would have been two salts and a lot of African pepper. And the dance off between the little white boy, Keaton, and the African kids would have been so funny, Grandpa. It would have been amazing to see. Oh, and it would have been so memorable. But as we laugh and we cry and talk about them often, let's not forget that there is no time in heaven. None. Only here. We may not see him or Keaton for the next 20 years. But when we do, it will be like a second to them. Thank you.
For what you're calling me to do. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah, yeah. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything, Lord. I'll be a conqueror because you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. And give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants
with
my faith. So I can face my giants. Gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. I won't stop till I see him fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you come. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. I won't stop till I see him fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you come. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. I won't stop till I hear him fall. Gonna stand up, stand out when you call. Jesus, give me a faith like Daniel. Faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me a hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence.
family, I didn't get the opportunity to meet Keaton, right? But I did get the opportunity to meet someone who I know was very influential in his life, and that's Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but the Bible says when we train up a child in the way they should go, they'll never depart from it. So I have no doubt that even though I may have never met him, he knew Jesus. And there's a confidence that you can take in that. And so I know there's a lot of hearts that are heavy. I know there's a lot of hearts that are angry. I know there's a lot of hearts that are confused. But family, can I encourage you guys that there's confidence? Because here's why. They had faith like Daniel in the lion's den. They had hope like Moses in the wilderness. They had hearts like David. God was always their defense. And now they faced their giants with confidence. And so the same God that gave that to them, he'll give you faith like Daniel in the lion's den, even when you're hurt. He'll give you hope like Moses, yeah, in the wilderness when you're confused. He'll give a heart like David. Lord, please be there to face. You can face this giant confidence. You can face this giant with confidence. You can face this giant with confidence.
Thank you.
Now, for those of you who didn't catch that, he was in the shower, okay? He was in the shower. Today we're blessed with the inclusion of some special greetings from those who could not be with us as we celebrate the lives of Aiden and Keaton. First, I'd like to share a word with you from Pastor Jonathan. He worked hand in hand with Pastor Mike and Aiden. He says these words, "Dearly beloved Pastor Mike, family, and friends, shalom. Things do happen that you cannot comprehend. Things that make you feel helpless, like the passing of sons or grandsons or friends. And in them are ones that you had so much hope regarding their future. We're deeply affected by the sudden passing of Aiden and his brother Keaton. We're shocked by the completely unexpected loss of such special, precious souls, and especially the youngest pastor that I've ever known, Pastor Aiden. The sad news that our colleague in Kingdom Service has passed deeply affected us all in Kenya. I tried to make this a video, but I was so overwhelmed I could not manage to accomplish that. This leaves a great void because of the outstanding work that he did in the kingdom of God. We will always remember him with deep gratitude, even with the short time that we had to spend together. Sweet memories of our great times working together last year for the first time as we shared church services, and even in the last few days in Nairobi, Kenya. These times will remain in our hearts and our thoughts forever. In Aiden, we lose a highly valued and enthusiastic world changer who carried out his mission of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at such a young age, but with great pleasure and dedication. I'm sure that the sudden passing is most difficult when you didn't even have a chance to say goodbye. It seems that suddenly your world has stopped and will never be the same again. It makes us realize how delicate and how fragile life really is. Aiden's strength and passion is so admirable. Aiden and Keaton will be deeply missed. From Kenya, we want to tell Pastor Mike, his family, and the church, and all of you that are in our hearts, you're in our thoughts and you're in our prayers. There is so much we feel, yet so little that we know to say. May the Lord bless you all with his peace that surpasses all human understanding. Shalom, Pastor Jonathan." And then from Damascus Road Worship Center, to the family of the recently departed Aiden and Keaton, on behalf of Reverend Dr. Jeff Benthal and Damascus Road Worship Center, we would like to extend our heartfelt condolences to Christy Craig, Brandon Hawks, and the family. Our deepest sympathies go out to you upon the passing of your sons, Aiden and Keaton. We are sending you this letter of sympathy to express our love to you for your family. Aiden and Keaton were the very first students to ever enroll in the child care program at Damascus King's Kid Learning Academy in Gates County. A little red wagon is all that Aiden requested, and Keaton just enjoyed eating corn on the cob. The joy and the love for life that these two boys possessed at such an early age will be forever a part of our learning center. We pray that God will grant you strength and peace and comfort of his presence today. And finally, we pray that you find comfort in the word of God, which simply says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Isaiah 41:13, in his service, Dr. Jeff Benthal. Secondly, we'd like to share some video tributes that come from everywhere, all around the world. And we're glad that our friends in Kenya are watching today via live stream. Allow these gentlemen to greet you through video.
I greet you all In Jesus' name, this is Pastor Ben here from Calvary Covenant Center, Nairobi, Kenya. We are so saddened hearing about the passing on of Aiden and his brother, Keaton. I have interacted with them before in North Carolina when they were young. I believe it's about 4 years ago. And this time round, Aiden was brought over here with his grandfather, my good friend, Pastor Mike Blowe. And we had time, drove him to church one of the mornings when we had the pastor's conference there. And I saw him around, during the kids' crusade. He was actively involved and he did great work for the Lord during the kids' crusade. And also in the main crusades in the evenings, he will come and he was really, really, really active. I would see him take pictures and I'll see him dance for the Lord. We didn't know that that was his last mission trip, but we are so saddened by this, but we leave everything to the Lord. On behalf of my family and myself, we want to pass a message of condolences to Mike Blowe and his family. And we want to pray that may God strengthen you. May you experience the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. We will for sure miss Aiden and his brother, but I believe they are in a better place. So may God bless you so much. We pray for the grace, the peace of God over your life. May you experience shalom upon your lives as a family. God bless you all. Thank you.
We are so much sad in Kenya here after hearing that Aiden went to be with the Lord with his brother. We know that nobody can be able to comfort you who are remaining, including his granddad. At the age of 12, Aiden had known what to do in life. He worked and was studying. His grandfather, he wanted to be a missionary and in ministry. And actually, at the age of 12, he had become. He has accomplished so much that many elderly people cannot be able to do. I saw him in the crusade, wanting to know what is going on, taking pictures and encouraging people. And he was so social and he could greet everybody here. And he was so much loved in Africa. I want to pray that God comfort his mother and heal his father. And that God is the one we ask him now. I don't picture him in the grave. I picture him in the hands of Christ, holding that baby. Because all of them, the two of them, wanted to become ministers. They had been filled by the Holy Spirit. They were powerful in ministry. And nothing could prevent them from doing that. And so God maybe loved them so much, as young as they are. And I want to encourage the grandfather who was with him just immediately went to America. These things happen. But I want to encourage him to continue preaching the gospel, because one of these days the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ, those who have slept in Christ, will rise, because they never die. I thank the Lord for all this, knowing that death is defeated and it cannot discourage us. We'll continue becoming powerful and go on with ministry. And for anybody who is hearing from us, or who have come to mourn with their family, I want to encourage you that Jesus is alive. And because he is, he will be alive. Amen. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Kim Norris, and I had the privilege of enjoying Aiden in Kenya. My last conversation around the dinner table in Nairobi was very special. Brother Mike Blow turned to Aiden and said, "Aiden, tell Pastor Kim what happened to you today." Aiden looked at me and said, "I received the gift of the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Well, what was it like? What happened?" And he said, "Actually," he said, "I had a tingling in my throat and I felt him." And I said, "Congratulations, Aiden." I believe that Aiden is a prophetic sign to many young people coming to the great nation of Kenya to minister, to love, to serve, and they too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Blessings to you today, to the family, to the church family, to the friends, to take time to honor the life of our dear brother Aiden. I love him, and I love you too. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Pastor Harry Randa from Kenya, Nairobi. It's really sad, saddening and heartbreaking what we just learned about Aiden and Keaton. And we just pray that the God of all comfort will be with you guys. The God of all comfort will keep you. I enjoyed time of ministry this time with Aiden. We had time ministering to the children. We had kids crusade. We had street evangelism. And we also visited some homes. I had Aiden teach I had him teach in the street as we went out preaching in the street. He also got to speak to a children's home that we went to. He shared the message of the Bible, and he had his Bible, and he just poured his heart. Such a young heart, such a young man with a passion for God, passion for science, he told me. And it's really sad. It's really sad. We just pray that may the peace of God be upon the entire family. May shalom of God be with you guys. You are in our hearts. We are praying with you. And may God just keep and protect you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Peter Dosick. I pastor Only Believe Ministries in Christian in Bakken's, Ohio. And I am here by invitation. I can't be there personally, but I've had the great honor of knowing many of the men that have come from North Carolina and that are friends with Mike and Bonnie Blow. And I want to address a few points about these two young men, Aiden and Keaton. Aiden and Keaton were young men of just an excellent nature. Now that comes from an upbringing of their mother, but their mother's faith was born because of their father's faith. And you see that in 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7, that the spirit that they had received was now upon Timothy. I've never met Brandon or his family, but I do know that they're hurting and they're broken just like we are. And everybody needs prayer because only God can heal and take us through things like this. Well, they were young men of faith. They didn't have just an earthly perspective. They had a spiritual perspective. This is a tragedy that I don't know that anybody could ever just get through or get over or be able to live beyond. But only with God is that possible. and only with God will it ever come to pass. And I know Mike and Bonnie Blow. I've had the great joy of knowing them and their two daughters. But I want to encourage you to watch the life of Bonnie and Mike Blow as they walk out their faith in God. They aren't just believing God for something. They're believing God for a futuristic event that David spoke of when he lost his son, and he said, "He cannot come to me, but I can go to him." Our life right now is interwoven with a destiny that we will one day ourselves either be raptured out of the church, out of the world, through the rapture of the church, or that we will ourselves die and be with the Lord. Now, either way, it means that we must live as if that is the most important fact in our life, and it is. Aiden and Keaton, they've been to my house, and of course, I've been to their country, and I just want to tell you that they were two young men of an excellent spirit, uniquely gifted by God for a purpose. And that purpose was this, in many ways, that when people are born, created by God, and then born into this earth, they aren't just coming in this to live for themselves. They're coming into a world to live their life as an example to others. And Aiden and Keaton were young men that sparked faith in people. It sparked faith in those that they knew. It sparked faith in those that they ran into. It sparked faith in what they did. And so I don't think that Aiden and Keaton were just two young grandchildren, which they were, dear children, but that they were put here for us, that you and I are byproducts of who we are right now because of Aiden and Keaton. I want to thank God for you, those two young men sparking me to be greater in the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you that as you look back over this tragedy, that we forget the tragedy, but we don't forget the young men and their impact. I want to encourage you to love the family. I want to encourage you to reach out to them. I want to encourage you to lift them up and to love them. And that you would be touched by God to be more involved in missions than ever before. Aiden, young man, stood on a stage, ministered to thousands of kids, and ministered to people all through the week. I want to encourage you to become like him, not just to observe him, but to be like him, because he was put in your life to be an example to what we need to be. Thank God for his grandparents. Thank God for his mama. Thank God for those that are around him. We thank God that they had a heart to do something for God, and they were sincerely devoted to Christ. I encourage you, please rise up, live the example that they gave you, and let Christ be seen in your life. Listen, I wish I could be there, but I have to be here in this room. I want to pray for you, all of you, before I leave this video. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, I pray, God, that you would comfort and exalt and exhort these people in the name of Jesus Christ. That, God, you would strengthen them, knit them together, and let them be awakened to the core of fellowship one with another. I pray, God, that you would use us as you used Aiden and as you used Keaton. Now, Father, use us as dear children, that, Father, our purpose would be that when we awake, we shall know him. Now, Father, touch each and every person's life in the name of Jesus. Now, I only do this because I feel deeply impressed, but there is a woman here in the midst of this congregation, the family of faith, that has cancer. And she has cancer of the throat. And it is being healed right now. I know they've told you it's a sad story, but I tell you that in the name of Jesus, you've been healed. Now you go and you let them tell you the evidence of it, and you will be able to hear Keaton's voice speaking to you about God wanting to heal you. So I want to encourage you. You just live for Jesus, because Jesus died to live for you. God bless you, and love one another, for the time is short and the hour is upon us. God bless you.
You know, family, grief is hard because there's no real words that can replace the people of the person we lost, but there is one name that can heal that heart, that can heal that brokenness. And so we just want to speak the name of Jesus over you. We want to speak the name of Jesus over your minds. We want to speak the name of Jesus over your hearts, over your emotions, that he be the ultimate comforter. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, your name.
Come on, worship the Lord in this place, would you? Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it one more time. Thank you, Lord. I love the last lines of that worship song. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I feel the same as the songwriter probably did, Darlene Check. You might have felt that somehow the name of Jesus spoken over a broken and a wounded heart could usher in peace that could only come from the presence of God. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this. Thank you, worship team. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'd be remiss as a pastor if I did not take this moment and express tremendous gratitude in behalf of this family for the incredibly deep and meaningful acts of kindness and love that you have shown them since last Sunday. And my challenge to you as a pastor is to go ahead, take your phone out, make you a note about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, to do it again. Hey, Crystal, what you guys doing? We thought we'd bring over some chicken. Just make a note. Because you know what? It's rained in abundance with God's love the past several days. But the house is going to get quiet. It is. Some of you pastors. Hey, Pastor Mike, what you doing, man? Can we do breakfast tomorrow? It's going to get quiet. See, I have the pastoral part of the service. I'm the old guy. And I want to share some things with you today that I know have probably hit your mind. In 42 years of ministry, I don't really think that I can ever recall a moment that has engaged the body of Christ emotionally and theologically as this moment has. It goes like this. Pastor, how could God take these boys? Pastor, you're going to have to help me with this one. I've got a long list of texts and phone calls. Pastor, I'm angry. Is it wrong to be angry? Pastor, I'm questioning God. I'm confused. And probably the one that I heard the most simply, Pastor, why? I grew up like many of you did. I grew up and I was always told and taught, you never question God. Anybody hear that? Never question God. That's what Grandma said. As much as I love Grandma, Grandma was wrong. In the darkest moments for Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, it's both Matthew and Mark that have him crying out in this tongue. And he simply says, the writers give us the interpretation, my God, why have you forsaken me? You felt lonely. Can I just tell you that God is not shaken by your questions? God's not upset that you would even inquire or ask. God's not appalled by your anger. God's not expecting you to just hide your feelings and not express how this has made you question even your own faith. How many of you drove safer the last week than you've ever driven? How many of you stopped texting while you were driving? How many of you stayed between the lines? How many of you turned the music down? How many of you read the Bible more? How many of you prayed more than you've ever prayed? It's these moments that cause us to respond and react in a way that we probably should have responded and reacted many times before. No, God's not expecting you to hide your feelings. Because can I tell you something? He already knows your feelings. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you say them. God knows. He's omniscient. And God understands. It was Elizabeth Elliot that penned her story and devoted an entire book to the great question of why. I've bought so many of these books over the years and given them away. It's a classic. She devoted the entire book to the great question that you were told you should never ask, and that is, why God? It's entitled Trusting God in a Twisted World. I got mine free. Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I just wrote and asked for the book many, many years ago. And now with Amazon, I've bought many and sent them to other people. It was Elizabeth Elliot that penned her story, and she devoted that book to that question, why? It was her husband, Jim Elliot, who was killed in 1956 while he was attempting to make a missionary impact on a group of people called the Alka people. That was a tribe of Indians in East Ecuador that were called Alka because that word is translated savage. And with the call of God upon her life, the death of her husband by this tribe, they killed him and some other missionaries. And with the death of her husband, that didn't even stop the effort and the call upon Elizabeth Elliot's life to share the love of Jesus with these people. 2 years later, she led the tribe leadership to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are just many circumstances in life that evoke that question, why, to us as believers. I think the Apostle Paul helps us a bit as he describes how we look at life, here we go, in the temporal, the temporary. We look at it in the here and now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, King James Version. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know, even as also I'm known. New Living Translation says it like this. Check this out. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. Can't really make out what's happening here. Can't really make out what God is saying or what God's doing. All I know now is what? Partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Even the hymn writer expressed this great tension, here we go, between the temporal and the eternal. There's a tension there. We don't understand it. We just don't understand it. The hymn writer Don Marsh declared it musically. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, and we'll tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. You live your entire life, you may not get the answer you're looking for. Death has what Paul has called the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57, New King James Version. Oh, death, where is your, here we go, sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is using an interesting word here, the word sting. It's a term used for a venomous sting of a scorpion or a wasp. It's the same word that's used for a sharp object or a goad that would be used to spur on an ox or a horse that is under subjection to its owner. And Paul says, thank you, Father, for dealing with all my stings through the victory that was obtained for me by Christ Jesus on the cross. And then he adds, verse 28, check this out. Therefore, my beloved brethren, even in the hardships, the difficulties, the pain, the loss, the death, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have to read verse 57 and verse 58 from Eugene Peterson's work called The Message. He says, but now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves in the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of your time or a waste of your effort. Your time, your life, your hardships, your sacrifices, even your death experiences are not a waste of your time. It stings. It hurts. It does, but Jesus took care of the sting. No, you can't understand that today. You can't possibly understand it, but I know two guys that do. Aiden and Keaton. Those young men get it. Listen, death is not an end. I know it seems that way for us because we live where? In the temporal. You're not in the eternal yet. So you don't understand it. You're concerned about how you feel and what happened to you. And how could God allow that to me? It's temporary. But at that very moment, everything changes. Death, here we go, when it happens for the one who experiences it, is the epitome of the very understanding of Jesus' death on the cross. They truly get it. Can you imagine with me for just a moment what it was like last Sunday afternoon when Keaton hit the scene? Oh my goodness. He probably instantly, Pastor Randy, went into full body worship, showing them the moves and the grooves, Keaton style. He's probably teaching dance lessons down at Hallelujah Square. Can you imagine, just for a moment, because the Bible is clear. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent. This is our hope, beloved. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. It was Dr. Graham who said this. Dr. Graham said, I'm not afraid of death, but dying concerns me. Okay? Why? Because even Dr. Graham, in all of his brilliance, he didn't really have clarity on the process. I'm not afraid of death, he said. Dying concerns me because I don't know what it's like. Okay? But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everything changed Sunday afternoon. Man, look at this rocket. This thing is prepared. You know, one of our concerns was, wow, we got a funeral and man, the sanctuary is. Pastor Mike said, no, don't you take that stuff down. No way. Crystal said, no way. Let it stay. Can you imagine with me for just a moment? I looked it up the other day. What is the twinkling of an eye? About a hundredth of a second. Can you divide a twinkle divided by 100? The same way that it's responded in the rapture, in just a moment, when that day comes, the Lord comes, and the rapture takes place, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, shoop, we're gone. That happened. their personal transport, okay, into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Keaton's probably running all over heaven. I wouldn't even attempt to try to move my body the way he moved his. You would laugh and scorn me, and I would never be a match for what he did. Can you imagine what it was like for him to be in the presence of God? And Aiden's probably just saying, that's Keaton. Okay, that's Keaton. Keaton's song was Confident, Sanctus Real, that our worship team sang earlier. It came at a time for him when he was, as Crystal tells me, he was teased. He was teased because he was the small one in the pack. Teased about his size. And he said one day, he said, Mom, God's given me my song. God gave him that song. And I love how she captured it in the shower scene. Okay? You could hear the water and hear the voice. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses. Can you imagine a guy's taking a bath and reading and singing these songs? Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense when they tease me. Be my defense so I can face this giant with confidence. Aiden's song was Gonna Be All Right, Ryan Ellis. Christy shared with me that they were sitting on that sofa. And in a difficult season in their life, that young rock, she called him, took her hand and said, Mama, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And so Aiden adopted that song as his own. And she described him as a rock, but she described them as a team. You know, like Batman, Robin, Starsky, Hutch. Come on, guys. David, Jonathan, Paul, Silas, Aiden, Keaton. You've read them. You've read about these guys. Two young men trained, discipled, and released. 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded now lives in you also. Can I give you the Phillips translation? I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Bonnie and in your mother Christy. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Verse 6 says, for this reason, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. These young men had godly influence. Pastor Mike and Bonnie, you trained your daughters in the faith. Christy, you trained your sons in the faith. Pastor Mike, you fanned into flame the gifts of God in these young men. And they began the journey of proclaiming the gospel. Several years ago, just a few years ago, I had to have my steps, there's 47 of them from top to bottom, had to have them resurfaced. But about 15, 16 years of sun and wear on them, and just that happens to appear in a set of steps. They had to be replaced, and I had asked Pastor Mike if, hey, could you do this for me? And we hired him to do that, and he did the same thing that Jesus did when Jesus laid down his deity and became humanity on this earth. He had all the abilities, but Pastor Mike laid down Pappy and became an employer to Aiden. And Aiden went from the bottom of that hill continually, Pastor Randy, toting lumber up there. I felt like, man, and I said, Pastor Mike, he's working like a dog, man. He said, hey, he wants the job. He said, he's got a goal. I said, what's he trying to do? He's trying to buy his passport. And as hard as it may have been sometime to lay Pappy down, he kept him working consistently. Even one neighbor noticed it and came over and said, what is this guy doing? He said, man, that guy is just from the bottom of the hill to the top, shoulders full of lumber, walking up there, get a swallow of water, walk down, lumber back to the top, back down to the bottom. What is he doing? And Pastor Mike told him, said, he's got a goal. He's raising money to get a passport to go share Jesus to the nations. He said, I'll be right back. He went home and got a check, okay? Hayden got a bonus, okay? He said, man, I can't believe this. I'm witnessing this every day. And I knew something was going on because most kids are playing video games and sitting on the sofa or watching television. And this guy is raising money to buy a passport. You fanned into flame the gifts of God in those young men. As we come to a close today, I thank the Lord for legacy that has been realized in the lives of these two precious boys, Aiden and Keaton. What is legacy, Pastor? Legacy is a long-lasting impact of a person's life. And these two have certainly impacted the lives of many, and the legacy continues. Because if you notice on your bulletin, it announces that there is a children's home that will bear their names. It's being constructed. It's going to be constructed in Kenya. And you can give by hitting that Garrett Sykes funeral home link. Many people already have. Money, thousands have already come in. People are responding. Because they want to pour into what? To legacy. Work that is worth it. Because it's eternal work. You could give a check to this church. There's an account set up there for this purpose. You could hit the QR code on this screen on your cell phone. Just take a picture of it. It'll take you to a place that you can give. Just hit missions. Honoring the lives of these young boys and participating in legacy. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for this family. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for Brandon. He's watching this service right now. He has tremendous need in his body. I pray the Lord touch his body, his mind, his soul, his emotions, everything about him. He needs your prayers, believers. He does. He needs your prayers. Father, touch Brandon. In Jesus' name. Pray for their families. Pray for all of these sitting in this first portion of this intersection who are hurting deeply. And your love has helped them. But pray for them in the days ahead. On July 4th, Aiden touched down and arrived back in the States after completing his second mission to the nation of Kenya. And while he was there, hear me, I'm coming to the end here. While he was there, you know what Aiden saw? He saw people respond to invitations. So I'm going to give you an invitation today. First of all, if you're that woman who has a throat issue, this is a prophetic gifting that was done by video just a couple of days ago. But if you're a woman in this room, you say, Pastor Wallace, I have an issue in my throat. Would you please stand to your feet right now? If you're in this room, just stand to your feet. God bless you. A pastor nearby, would you go there and minister healing to this dear lady in the back? Praise the Lord. Cancer is not too difficult for God. Amen. God always has a purpose when he releases spiritual gifting. I said to our team, I said, hey, hold that clip last. Okay? Hold that clip last. Someone responded. Now, how about your response to, Pastor, I've examined my life. You said something earlier about, did you drive better? Did you pay more attention to the highway? I've paid attention to my spiritual life this week, and I've made some conscious, willful decisions to renew my faith, or maybe want to do so today. Would you stand right where you are? Come on, just stand up to your feet. God's doing something in my life, Pastor. Through the experience of the loss of these two young boys, God has spoken to my heart. Stand to your feet right where you are. We just want to pray with you. Just stand. All over the building, just stand. God's speaking to your heart. Or, Pastor, I must say, I'm troubled. I've had questions I don't have answers to. You hit it on the head. I'm confused. I don't understand this part of God. Would you stand? Just stand right where you are. We're just going to pray a collective prayer over you. Just stand right where you are. Come on, I know God's touching some of you. I know that. I know God's touching some of you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, it's in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, that we come before you, God, giving you thanks and praise for the healing, for touching this young lady right now. For encouraging, God, those who are weak and weary. For encouraging, God, those who are struggling in their own faith. God, would you do that today faithfully? In Jesus' name. Touch this family. Minister healing to them, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch Brandon, God. In Jesus' name. Touch those who are watching online. Listen, if you made a decision to come to Christ or to renew your faith, just hit it in the comment section below. We'll reach out to you. We'll reach out to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to release our services to those who've cared for this family with Garrett Sykes Funeral Home. Thank you for serving them. Please take my challenge and reach out to them in the days ahead, the weeks, the months. Make a note, because they'll need you, okay? They'll need you in these times ahead. Thank you for our team coming together, Ohio, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Randy, you guys coming together, and our technological team working together to make today meaningful and valuable for all of us. For our worship team, for backline people, security guys, just thank you so much for serving today. And you've had an opportunity to visit with the family, so we're gonna thank you for that. We've prepared a meal for them, and depending upon the weather, I don't know what decision we've made yet. Are we going on? Well, no, it's too bad right now. We're gonna let them refresh themselves with a meal that's been prepared. So would you allow them to be released today and go to that place where they can be refreshed, and then you can connect with them at another time. God bless you. Thank you, Sharon. You guys can come. We'd ask the family to stand if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you for respecting their privacy today and allowing them to go to a place of fellowship now and to eat. And would you please be careful as you exit today? It is raining, I understand it. Be careful. Watch out where you're going when you back up. And God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part of the celebration service for Aiden and for Keith. God bless you all.